You're listening to the official podcast of Asbury University, produced by students with God-honoring conversations that inform, edify, and encourage. This is Asbury. We explore culture and current topics through a Christian worldview, promoting a well-balanced life, and we empower our community to belong, become, and be set apart. I'm your host, Abby Laub. Welcome to This is Asbury. Welcome to the podcast. I have a guest in the studio today who is really busy this time of year because you are the director of conference services here at Asbury. Welcome, Christine Endicott.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Abby.
Yes, of course. I'm so excited to get into your story because you just wrote a book recently, but a little more about you. You've been here for about 5 years. All three of your kids attended Asbury.
You're from
Indiana. What we're going to talk about today is a book that you've recently published. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, it's called Be a Parent, Bonding and Building for a Lifetime.
Awesome. So it's about parenting.
Yes.
Motherhood, all of the things. What inspired you to write this book, Christine?
It was my children who really pushed me to write it. But as they left the home and talked to friends and realized, they're like, Mom, how did you know to do this? Or why did you set things up this way? They appreciated the way their lives were organized. And so they asked me to write a book about it so then that they could use it for their own parenting.
So you must have thought, wow, I guess I did something right. My kids want me to write a book about parenting.
Yes, it's very humbling.
I know this could be a much longer conversation than a podcast episode, but what was it about your parenting style that you feel like your kids really appreciated?
I think the biggest thing, Abby, is communication. Now, that is something that actually is like one of my strengths. My top strength is communication. My husband is a strong communicator, so it came naturally to us. So I know for other people, it can be harder, but just making those very clear guidelines. I also have a very strategic mind, so simple things like chores and arguing over who's doing what, and then just coming up with a chore chart. So then there was no argument and making those expectations clear.
Right.
This is what's expected. From the time they were very little, we told them, when you grow up and you finish high school, you will have three choices. You can either go to college, you can join the military, or you can start paying rent.
I love that.
Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to kick you out of the house, but you're not going to live here for free.
Yeah.
By the time you're 18, you've got to do something. They knew that all along, and then I held true to that. And because I held true to stuff from the time they were young, they knew I would hold true to that.
So what do you think they appreciated about that?
They had the choice to communicate with us as well. So I remember when we would have challenging times, we would have a family meeting, and this would always create a large groan from the kids. We're going to have a family meeting tonight.
Oh, boy.
We would use a speaking spoon, which was a wooden spoon,
and whoever had
the wooden spoon spoke. And you were not allowed to say anything unless you had the spoon. And when you got the spoon, the first thing you had to do was repeat what the person before you. So you're not just sitting there thinking about what you want to say. You also have to listen.
Yeah.
What was really funny is one time they were in probably late elementary, early middle school, and they came to my husband and I and said, we want to call a family meeting. The kids called
family.
And we were like, okay. So basically, I think their bedtime was 9 o'clock, and we loved watching the show American Idol. And the final episode was like a 2-hour thing, and it was on till 10. And so they said, you know, when they do those nights, we go to school and we don't know who the person was, even though we recorded whatever, and everybody's talking about it.
They're missing out.
They're missing out. So their thing was those weeks, could they have their bedtime an hour later? So we're like, yes, that was a good argument. And they said, you know, we'll be ready for bed and we'll brush our teeth on commercials. And it empowered them. It wasn't just about us dictating to them. It was about creating things together as a family and discussing it. And they knew that they had power in that communication as well.
They had power and they had structure. It just lets them know that there is order and there's a system in place for their life. And I think kids, whether they want to admit it or not, they crave that.
They do.
They want boundaries.
We all do. We all want to know what our expectations are.
Shifting gears just a little, what was one of your favorite parts about being a mom then and then now that your kids are grown?
It is overwhelming when you become a parent. It's wonderful and it's overwhelming to realize, oh my gosh, I'm responsible for this little being. But I think that was the joy in it, is that I'm responsible for this little being and creating, whether they are kind, whether they are giving, teaching them things so that they have knowledge, basic things like taking a walk and teaching them the different colors of flowers. So I think that was the joy of parenting, was being able to take my life and things I did and didn't like about it and being able to try to inspire their life and encourage them in other ways. But also part of the joy is their individual personalities. Huge challenge in that.
Yes.
To like, oh my gosh, they're not like me and I need to be okay with that. And not forcing. Wow. That was the hard part, is not forcing things, knowing when to back off and when to encourage and where to draw the lines. Parenting is like working for years and never getting paid. And then all of a sudden, like a teacher compliments your kids see them do it. It's like, oh,
it's like money in the bank.
Paycheck.
Yes.
Paycheck. So every once in a while now I'll be like, oh, getting a paycheck.
Oh, that's so true. Well, I love that you can look back and just kind of enjoy now. And I know your kids still call you and you talk to them. There's still concerns that you have as a parent, but at least now they're on their feet. They have their own families to manage. So I'm sure that's in some ways just like, okay, we did it. For that new mom who isn't there yet, who isn't where you are yet, and I'm kind of in that now. I've got a middle schooler and third grader. Ooh, that middle school. How would you encourage those moms in the trenches and not sort of on the other side like you are?
Well, first of all, don't be too hard on yourself. Don't think that you're going to do everything right. Give yourself grace. Know that it is okay to feel overwhelmed. It is normal to feel inadequate. Your house is going to be messy and chaotic, and there will be days when you look in the mirror at 5 o'clock and realize you never brushed your hair, and it's all okay. Whatever season you are in and the challenges you are in, like my son used to never sleep through the night, and you feel like it is never going to end, but it does. I would take little crackers and sit them next to the bed because he would always wake up hungry. And I asked my friend, I said, is that horrible that I'm doing that? She said, it's not like when he goes to college, you're going to have to go put crackers in his dorm room. If this gets him back to sleep without waking you up, it's okay.
Yes.
So don't feel like you're going to make one choice that's going to ruin your kid's life.
Yes.
So just, I think you've got to be able to do something for yourself and know that sometimes choosing something for yourself is not selfish because it's giving you the replenishment to be able to pour into others. You know, you've heard that you're like a pitcher. If you've got a pitcher of water that you can pour into other people, but if you never fill your own pitcher, then you have nothing left to give.
Yeah.
And I mean, I had nights where I would sit in my car in the garage and turn the music on and sometimes just sit there and cry because I just was exhausted and overwhelmed.
Yeah. How close together are your kids?
We had 3 kids in 34 months.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Yeah. So imagine having an infant and a 14-month-old and a 2-year-old.
No, I can't imagine that.
They were all in diapers for about 6 months.
Wow. My parents, there's 5 of us, and my twin sister and I were only 15 months younger than our older sister. And then they had a 4-year-old. So yeah, it was a little chaotic.
People would ask, how do you do it? It's like, well, you don't have a choice. You just do it. All my kids want to have their kids within a couple years of each other because they loved growing up so close.
So when you were writing this book, reflecting on your experiences, did you ever have any kind of imposter syndrome? Like, did you ever feel like, oh, I shouldn't be the one? There's a better mom out there to do this.
All the time. I mean, even trying to write it, they asked me for years before I was able to finally put pen to paper. It was when I moved my son out to Colorado and the girls were already married. And I thought, okay, on the plane ride home from that, I started an outline. Really prayed for God to inspire me and help me and figure out how to put it together. The real reason I wrote it, Abby, was to help other parents. Because I think if there's anything, if there's one sentence that they read in this that makes parenting easier, then it will be worth it. Because it's not an easy journey.
No, it's not. And especially now, we're so separated as a society from our support systems and our biological families. It's not like it was when we were growing up, when like grandma was right up the street. We're a society that values independence and freedom and moving and this. We're just not together necessarily with our families and our support systems. And I think that can make it even harder.
I think the fact too that even when I was growing up, for the most part, even your neighbors, you all kind of agreed on what was right and wrong.
Yeah.
And people would discipline other people's kids.
Yeah.
The neighbor lady would yell at me for climbing up in the tree. And you don't have that now.
No, you don't.
It's don't mess with my child. We're not doing this. We are doing that. I mean, even like a split on Santa Claus.
We're definitely not operating out of the same generally understood worldview anymore when it comes to parenting and life.
It's interesting because in some ways we are bombarded with all of this information and no privacy and everything is out in the open. And then at the same time, you're isolated and don't have any support.
How have you seen parenthood change from that idea of letting your kids take risks and letting them figure things out for themselves to now parents kind of just tend to want to do things for their kids and make it really easy for them in life?
Honestly, in some ways, I still am kind of baffled. Initially, I wanted to call my book Common Sense Parenting. It worked for me, but there's already a book out there that's similar to that. You don't write your kids' papers for them. Even doing your kids' chores. If it's their chore to unload the dishwasher, well, they've got a game tonight or they've got this going on. It's like, okay, but when they're in the workforce and they have a task that they have to do and they've got five other things in their life that are happening, they still have to get that task done. So why not teach them when they're young? We had that system. You can pay your sibling to do your job for you if you can't do it. Or you can go to dad or I and say, hey, I'm struggling this week and I do need help, but don't just let them off the hook without making them be responsible in some way. Our daughter, when she was 16, we told her she had to get a job. She fought us tooth and nail. She was furious. None of her friends had a job, blah, 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 all this negative. I remember taking her to go pick up. She named like three places that she was going to apply. She slammed the door of the car to get out to go get her application so hard that I was like rocking in the car. And she has told us over and over and over again how much she learned from that experience and how important that was. And thank you so much for making me do that.
It's just easier. It's easier to just say, oh, yeah, it's fine. Or, yeah, I'll just grab that for you. Or, oh, yeah. It's easier to not deal with their temper tantrums.
I think you have to ask yourself, how is this helping my child? And if it's only helping your child in the moment, then it's not helping them. What do they need to know in the long run? You know, you want them to be independent. You want them to make decisions. So what do you need to do now? And maybe that's letting them pick out their own clothes when they're in kindergarten, even if they don't match. But they're gaining confidence. And I think part of gaining confidence is giving them a task and then not following up the task. So you ask them to sweep the floor. Okay, they missed the corners of the floor. Thank them for sweeping the floor.
Don't be critical about missing the corners.
Right. And then the next time they sweep, show them before they start. Don't forget to get the corners. So you're teaching them along the way, because if you just go over after them, then they devalue themselves.
They're like, oh, I did it wrong. I'm terrible. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So you've got to, as a parent, even though life is busy, you have to stop and think and ask yourself, what is this going to teach them now and how is this going to help them in the future? And doing stuff for them while that's easy and it makes things for you, oh, it's happy, we'll smooth it over. How is that going to help them when they're older?
Yeah. I think a lot of parents forget about that. What's going to happen when they do grow up? Like, are they going to be asking me how to do things when they get in their first job or whatever it is? You've already empowered them to figure it out.
And you have to be okay with that as a parent, that letting go of them is part of your job.
Yes.
Your job isn't to cling to them for the rest of your life. You've got to be able to let go. Let them fly the nest.
Since this is Mother's Day week, Pew Research says that mothers are more likely than fathers to say that being a parent is the most important aspect of who they are as a person. What do you attribute this stat to?
I find the question a little bit interesting because the way that it's worded, that they say that it's the most important aspect of who they are as a person. To me, that has a little bit of a negative. It's like, oh, that I wouldn't be that strong of a person without being a parent. So I disagree with that, that it's not about who I am as a person. But I will say that being a mother is the greatest gift that I have received in life. And that raising my children, I always tell them they're my magnum opus. They're my greatest work. But I think that we have to be careful to not take on that identity. I think when empty nest happens and people really struggle with empty nesting, it is because they are clinging, that they don't have an identity outside of their children.
Yes,
we have to be cautious. But I do think that it is more common for mothers to develop that. I have not done research or have any statistics on that, but just from my observation and what I have seen in life, I think part of it is that mothers do have more of those connecting fibers in our brain. Women do. And so we can, the multitasking and, you know, the laundry and the uniform and their lunch is ready and all of that stuff goes through our minds. Whereas men have a stronger capability of thinking into specific tasks at a time.
Yeah.
I mean, our brains are wired differently and I think it allows them to really, really focus, but they don't get as wrapped up in all of the tiny little details right. and the nurturing aspect. Does that really answer what you were looking for?
Well, and I think that's an important point that you brought in. Your children are not yours for you to idolize. My husband makes this joke. For a lot of people, kids are just like a cool accessory. Like, that sounds really terrible, but it's that whole idea of your kid will get in the best school and they will, like, it's about you
at that point.
And at that point, it's about you. It's not about raising your kids in a God-honoring way. It's about what you can get from that.
Or getting wrapped up in what you want them to accomplish rather than giving them to the Lord and saying, Lord, you give them the abilities to do what you want them to do. And then as a parent, backing up and allowing them the freedom to make those choices.
And that's something else you said. And again, I don't know what the data is on this, but we've all seen people get a divorce after once they become empty nesters because their whole entire marriage for all those years became about their children and they didn't have a relationship anymore. So that's also a danger just to guard your marriage against. So a lot of countries, including the U.S., are seeing dramatically falling birth rates. And in some cases, it's people are ringing the alarm like, this is bad. We need more babies. Couples aren't marrying and women are choosing not to have kids at all, or they're just choosing to have them way later. How do you think we got here as a society?
I think a big reason, and even people that I've talked to, I think some people tend to say that this is, it's out of selfishness, that I don't want to take the time for a kid, but I think it's more out of fear. There's so much negativity. When I was a kid, news only came on in the evening. A lot of times after you went to bed is when parents watched the news, so you didn't hear all this negative, horrible stuff about the way people treat each other and all the negative things going on in the world. And now it's a constant bombardment, and they're like, why would I want to bring a child
terrifying
into this world that is so mean and evil? And I think that's a big part of it. They don't want to create another being who is going to have to struggle. We're just missing a lot of joy. We're missing that respect. It's so many things that you see. It's, you know, people not taking care of their property. It's a lack of respect for their neighbors and for what they own when they're, you know, rude to each other. Even politically, it's respecting both sides. It's teaching kids to respect the elderly, to respect your property, to respect positions of authority. And I think if we could get back to some of those basics and being able to find consistency, solidarity, just overall goodness that we're all on the same side for. I think those inspiring stories, I'd love to see more news that has all the good, because there's so many great stories out there. Yeah. But for some reason, we're drawn to the negative.
Well, and I think it used to be just a little more understood, if you're operating out of a Christian worldview, culturally understood that children were a gift. Either you believe they're a gift from God or a gift in general, you know, to carry your lineage or to help you, you know, manage the family farm or to help you ensure that your culture survives into the future. So whatever your reason being, children are a gift, and the Bible tells us be fruitful and multiply. So I just think a lot of those ideas of like, you felt this urgency to have kids because of XYZ. And I just think a lot of people don't feel that anymore.
That's true. Definitely. I mean, you don't need them to run the family farm anymore. I mean, I even had a good friend when we were starting to have our children and they said they weren't sure they wanted to have kids. And I told them, I said, I understand your choice in not wanting to have kids. I can tell you it'll be the hardest thing you ever do. But if you decide you do want to have children, it'll be the greatest gift you can ever imagine. And a few years later, they did decide to have children and they have a son and a daughter. And
probably no regrets.
No. It's been wonderful and beautiful.
Well, anything in closing that you want to share about the book? Any other pieces of advice or how you would encourage people?
I will say that everybody who's read it, it's made them laugh. A lot of older people, it was, you know, kind of created for Gen Z and younger people who are starting families, but older people have read through it and said that it reminded them of raising their own children and so gave them inspiration. And it's an easy read. So if you're not a reader, it's very easy. You can break it up into sections. I encourage that. One of my concluding paragraphs, I say, I suppose the reason I want this book to succeed because it has the fundamentals of how my husband and I found success as parents. And that's what I want for all parents. We must do the daily, mundane things well in order to see the great success of having a confident, kind, productive adult child who lives their life for the Lord and who only by God's grace considers us a good parent. So if you want some inspiration and ideas on how to do the daily, mundane things well, then I encourage you to read it.
I definitely will. Is there a section about middle schoolers in
there? There is.
Yes.
There's a chapter.
I will pick up a copy.
It's funny because there's a word for each chapter. And And the middle school years is be present.
Oh, yes, that's good.
Yeah, and high school is be honest.
Thank you. Where can people find your book, by the way?
They can find it on Amazon, and they can also find it in Fitch's IGA here locally in Wilmore, and they have it in Kinlaw Library.
Awesome. Be a parent. I love that.
We will be offering a discount for the book on Amazon for the month of May in honor of Mother's Day. So I forgot to add
great.
That.
It's a great Mother's Day present.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today, Abby, and happy Mother's Day to everyone out there.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of This is Asbury. To learn more about Asbury University, visit asbury.edu.